In 1878, Russia was able to extract from the Turks the so-called Treaty of San Stefano, which resulted in the creation of a large Bulgarian state, which would have been basically a puppet state, a satellite state of Russia. So complete was the Russian victory that it alarmed the Habsburgs, and indeed it alarmed all of the major powers of Europe. It was one thing to talk about the disintegration of the Ottoman Empire, another for Russia simply to impose its will there and to begin to create large satellite states. It was in this situation in 1878 that the Congress of Vienna, to which we have had occasion to allude before, had been convened, Congress of Berlin, I should say, had been convened by Bismarck. At the Congress of Berlin, Serbia, Montenegro, and Romania would have their independence recognized. Bulgaria would become an autonomous state within the Ottoman Empire. Two of the provinces, the linked provinces, that were particularly troublesome, where rebellion was rife, where anti-Turk sentiment was particularly strong, was Bosnia-Herzegovina. The Congress of Berlin would detach Bosnia-Herzegovina from the Ottoman Empire and place Bosnia-Herzegovina under Austrian administration. That is, they were not to be made part of the Habsburg Empire, not simply transferred from the Ottomans to the Habsburgs, but the Habsburgs were now responsible for administering this important territory. This was a way of balancing Russian interests there in the Balkans. Russia would take territory from its ally Romania at the Congress of Berlin. Here's where Bismarck would play, as he liked to say, the honest broker, trying to balance the interests of Russia and the Habsburgs, and also to deal with this issue of Balkan nationalism. Britain, at the Congress of Berlin, would acquire Cyprus. France would detach Tunisia from the Ottoman Empire, so there was something for everybody. And in this regard, the Congress of Berlin was not unlike the Congress of Vienna. This is the way business was done in European diplomacy. When convened a Congress, territories were traded, and interests balanced. This is why Bismarck was so astonished that he'd managed to bring about this unification of Germany without some big international conference in which everyone would have had some interest, some objective, some territorial goal. The Congress of Berlin in 1878, for a time, would put a lid on the potentially explosive situation in the Balkans. But the situation was not resolved. There was still Russia. Certainly would continue after 1878 to present itself as the champion of Slavic nationalism, Slavic ethnic pride in the Balkans, aimed at the Turks. But after 1878, there would be less tension in this area of the world until the early 20th century. Then, beginning in 1903, a series of conflicts would begin to erupt with ripple effect down to 1914. In 1903, a revolution in Serbia led to the assassination of the king and queen there, and the new king was quickly recognized by St. Petersburg, by Russia. The new king was terrifically pro-Russian. Russia in this period would speak the language of Pan-Slavism. And Serbia in response to this Russian support would back the Russians in its war in 1904-05 against Japan, that is, verbally support it. Serbia would become the linchpin in Russia's interests in the Balkans. Serbia would become the most loyal connection between Russia and the various South Slav peoples in the Balkans. Austria was quite uneasy about this. Serbia was seen not only as the center of Balkan nationalism directed at Turkey, but increasingly also as a hotbed of terrorism that was also directed against the Habsburg monarchy. In 1906,